A new U.S. ambassador to China.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Today, President Obama is expected to nominate Commerce Secretary Gary Locke as the next ambassador to Beijing. Locke would replace John Huntsman and would be the first Chinese-American to serve in the post. How's the news going over in China? Marketplace's Rob Schmitz has that now from Shanghai.
The U.S. ambassador to China is a tricky post. You're in charge of managing what is arguably the most important economic relationship for the U.S., yet a difficult one. You have to hold a smile while politely asking Chinese officials for the 100th time to raise the value of their currency, or crack down on pirated DVDs, or level the playing field for American businesses in China. This job is not for just anyone.
I cannot imagine there would be a better nomination than this one.
Wu Xinbo is a professor at Fudan University. He says, for starters, the Chinese public will be surprised and pleased the new U.S. ambassador has a Chinese face and grew up speaking a dialect of Chinese.
They will think that as an American Chinese, they should have better understanding of China, the Chinese society, and its history.
Wu says Chinese officials will also be happy. Not only does Locke's experience as Commerce Secretary give him the economic know-how, but serving on President Obama's cabinet shows he'll be able to deliver a message from Beijing straight to the White House. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
Oil prices are inching higher this morning. They're pushing $107 a barrel in overseas trading. United Continental says because of rising fuel prices, it will scrap plans to add new flights this year, and it will remove less fuel-efficient planes from its fleet. Well, all the talk of the high price of fuel have some people talking about natural gas, which is primarily used for electricity and home heating. Turns out technology has boosted natural gas production so much that there's a glut in the U.S. market, and drillers want permission to sell their surplus. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Eve Tro reports.
Drillers have figured out how to get natural gas quickly from U.S. shale through a process called fracking. There's so much that American companies now want to start exporting it. But there's a problem.
Well, currently in the U.S., there's 10 import terminals and no export terminals at all.
Matt Smith is with Summit Energy. He says reversing the flow of the supply will take at least 5 years. Some groups don't want to start that process because the U.S. may need more natural gas as the economy gets better. And if we send it overseas, it'll cost more here. Smith says there's plenty to go around.
The U.S. is going to experience a reasonably low level of natural gas pricing for the foreseeable future.
The one thing that would drive up prices is more environmental regulation. While frackers push to export, they're also waiting to see if federal agencies will rein in the very practice that led to the boom. I'm Eve Tro for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are up across Europe and Asia this morning, about 0.2% higher in Frankfurt, about 0.25% higher in Paris. Subway has become the biggest fast food chain in the world when it comes to the number of restaurants. According to a government filing, at the end of last year, Subway had 33,749 stores. McDonald's had 32,737. Wall Street held the Mayo yesterday. The Dow dropped 79 points to close at 12,090.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Microsoft, providing comprehensive business solutions for the cloud. You can learn more at Microsoft.com/cloud. By MassMutual, offering business owners financial guidance for the long term. Information at MassMutual.com. And by Reputation.com, protecting online privacy by removing your personal data from the internet and stopping unwanted mail. Reputation.com.
All right, it's quiz time here on the Marketplace Morning Report. So let's bring in our quiz master, Stefan Richter. He's editor-in-chief at The Globalist, and he's with us from Washington, D.C. Good morning, Stefan.
Morning, Jeremy. Are you ready for today's quiz?
I am ready. Hit me.
It's all about tobacco, which kills 5.4 million people each year around the world. And my question to you is, which of these countries produces more tobacco than any other? Is it A, Yours truly, the United States of America. B, Brazil. C, India. Or D, China.
Well, I feel like China produces more of just about everything these days. But I took a trip through Tennessee this summer, and they certainly produce a lot of tobacco down there still. So I'm going to go with the United States.
Until 1976, you would have been right. But the U.S. is only doing 6% of global production these days. Ranks fourth among these.
Okay, I'm going to go with Brazil.
Brazil is very close. Brazil, unfortunately, is number two, 15% of global production. But if I'd asked about sugar, oranges, or coffee, three other staples that you probably need in the morning, you would have been right. Brazil leads the world there, but not on tobacco.
All right, well, I guess I have a 50% chance of getting it at this point. I'll go with India.
No.
At least the audience now knows that I didn't see the answers in advance.
This, again, is another field where China leads the world in terms of global production. In fact, it accounts for 39% of it around the globe. And the Chinese are heavy consumers for once of this stuff. 27% of the Chinese population smokes. So they are number one again.
Number one again. All right. And I am number four on this quiz. Thank you again, Stefan Richter. He's the editor-in-chief at The Globalist, and they've got new features every day about the world at theglobalist.com. Stefan, thanks.
Till next time. Bye-bye.
And finally, different states are coming up with different ways to boost their own economies. And in Maryland, they're turning to their pets. Legislators in the state will hold a hearing today about a new law that would allow people to eat outside at restaurants with their dogs. The sponsor of the bill, which is called the Dining Out Growth Act of 2011, tells the Baltimore Sun the law would encourage pet owners to go out to eat more often, give the restaurant industry a boost. So far, the bill is not facing much opposition. And the dogs? They seem to like the idea. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. Quiet, Chi-Chi. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
If a celebrity's following you on Twitter, don't get too excited.
Do those people really think that Lady Gaga and President Obama are reading their tweets?
I'm Kai Rizdal, the Freakonomics of 140 character relationships, the numbers from Wall Street, and all the day's business news next time on Marketplace from APM American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.